You got a Bible this evening? Turn with us to the book of Hebrews. We're going to try to pick up tonight on a few thoughts that I didn't get to share this morning. We may get to share some over. Do it, be okay. We sing Amazing Grace more than once. I just can't get away from this evening. In Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. Brother Tim, you want to read verses 1 through 7 for me tonight, brother? Yes, sir.
Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the death of the children. My son, despise not.
Chasteneth not. Thank you, Brother Tim. You may be seated tonight. Appreciate you standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. A lot of people's had different opinions about the writer of Hebrews. It is my personal opinion that God knows who wrote it. And He wrote it for our teaching. He wrote it for our preaching. And there's some things in the book of Hebrews that it would do us good, or it would benefit us to take home with us this evening. My goodness, in Hebrews 11, there's the great chapter of faith. And the Bible says, now faith is. Faith is not was. Faith is. And thank God that we have a measure of faith. The Bible said that God has given every man a measure of faith. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we that have heard the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, we ought to be growing in our faith. My goodness, how we need faith in these days. And here these children, they had left out of Judaism. They were under great persecution. They'd been saved. And so here the writer is writing to them about their faith, and then he turns to them about their walk. He says, I'm seeing some of you struggling in areas of your life. In other words, he says, you're not going to play around with sin and do much for God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's very important that we take heed to the preaching of the Word of God. He uses this Bible word, wherefore. He says, seeing. We also are compassed with so great cloud of witnesses. Now he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience or consistence the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to say something there before I start in on the message tonight. You didn't start this thing of salvation. The Bible said, He which hath begun this good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now it took God to come by where you were to offer unto you eternal life. You ought to thank God He sent the Word of God to you through the man of God and preached to you and offered you there the gift of eternal life. He is the author and finisher of our faith. If it was not for Christ, we would not have any faith. And so He started it, and He'll finish it. It's all about Him tonight. And He says, who for the joy that was set before Him. See, He's seen me and you. And He knew, you know, I heard one of the best messages on worship, count meeting I've ever heard in my life. I appreciate the fact that the preacher brought the preaching to me in different light that I'd never really thought about. God wanted somebody to worship Him. He seeks such as those to worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. When Adam fell in the garden and sinned, he broke that spirit of relationship. He became a sinner. And that's why we are sinners tonight, because what Adam done in the garden, we're from that bloodline. You run your lineage all the way back, and somewhere it's going back to the garden. And that's why you and I have such a wicked nature as we have this evening. But you know, isn't it amazing that there was a joy set before Jesus that He would go to the cross and buy a people that they may worship God in spirit and in truth. Isn't it amazing that God sought for man to worship Him? What if God would have just thrown His hands down when Adam had sinned and said, it's no more hope for you. No, God is wanting us to worship Him. And aren't you glad that He sent Jesus to pay the price, to shed His blood, and to reach and get me and you, access our spirit by the life of the breath of God, that we may worship Him in spirit and in truth. He was about the Father's business. And I'm glad it was joy to serve God for Him. And it ought to be a joy to serve God for us. What a great privilege. Notice, friend, He knew the cross was in front of Him. But yet He said the joy that was set before it. Hey, you know what was on His mind? You was on His mind. And I was on. Brother Joe, I'm amazed God would die for somebody like... Can you imagine God dying for somebody like me and you? That's amazing, the love of Christ that passes all understanding. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and suffered the shame. Now, I'm talking about the God of glory, friend, that didn't have to leave where He was. The God of glory that took upon Himself to come as a man and walk in this world and be tempted as we're tempted, but yet have never sinned, never known sin, and died on a cross. What joy was set before Him. My goodness, we want to sit around and grumble and mumble a lot of times about even having to come to church a few times. My goodness, we ought to be thankful that we can serve God tonight. You know, when we get to heaven, you're going to be glad. You're going to look back and say, my Lord, I'm glad I didn't miss this place. You ought to thank God that He saved you tonight. And I bless His good name. Now, He said for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Now, this morning, we discussed the race down here. We're in a race down here. And I don't know about y'all, but it is a heated race. I mean, the race is on. We've never been in such a race in all of our life. One thing about a runner, he's going someplace. I'm glad I'm going someplace. Thank God I'm not running on a circle track, Brother Dennis. I'm glad I'm a cross-country runner tonight. Thank God I'm going someplace. Amen. I mean, thank God I ain't like a Chihuahua dog just running my tail around in a circle. I'm headed somewhere tonight. You say, where are you headed? I'm headed toward where Jesus is. He said, how come you know you're going to heaven where Jesus is? He said, because if you look that way and run that way, you'll wind up where He's at. I like that preaching tonight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the patriarchs of the race. Did we whet your appetite any this morning about what you think about the patriarchs that have gone on before us? Now, the Bible expressly teaches this. He says, now that cloud of witness, the grandstands of heaven, in the hall of faith, there's sitting Enoch. My goodness, there's Elijah and Elisha. There's Isaiah. There's all the prophets of old. They're a great cloud of witness. I wonder, are they looking at us tonight? I wonder, do they know what's going on? The Bible says in Luke chapter number 15, you ought to study it out. He said in verse 10, likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I don't know who they are, but I do know this. There's joy in the presence of the angels when a sinner gets saved.
And we ought to rejoice when sinners get saved. Thank God we've got life in our church, friend. Thank God the Holy Ghost is at Liberty Baptist Church and is still a saving old sinners. You ought to thank God. We ought to never get used to being saved and seeing sinners get saved. There's multitudes of Baptist churches tonight that's never seeing anybody saved. There's cobwebs in the baptistry. We ought to thank God tonight. He's so good to our assembly that He'll come by and convict sinners of their sin. Now the patriarchs of the race, they are witnessing. They've witnessed to us that you can make it by faith. Thank God the only way you're going to make it is by faith. Just what Brother Donald said, there are bumps in the road. Just because you're a Christian tonight, don't think all time your bills is going to be paid. Don't think that the children's going to act right. Because I can tell you, probably they're not going to act right. And probably you're not going to act right. You see, the apple don't fall far from the tree. And so certainly these patriarchs of our faith, they have witnessed that you can make it by faith. Those that began in faith, the Bible said they ended in faith. Aren't you glad we have keeping faith tonight? I'm so glad I'm not trying to hold on to God about my salvation, afraid I'm going to lose my salvation. Does anybody have enough problem with the flesh that you could lose your salvation? My goodness, that would run me crazy. I'd hate to know that I was a preacher preaching on I could lose my salvation. You wouldn't even know if I was saved or not. It depended on what I'd done before I got down here. But thank God I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. Thank God I'm on my way toward heaven by grace through faith tonight. It's something about this faith. He said they all started in faith in chapter 11, and they all died in faith. Isn't that a blessing? Thank God when we start in faith, we'll die in faith. You say, what about them people who made a profession and you baptized and they're out here tonight? They didn't get it. Or it didn't get them. Remember how your theology is. In other words, they ain't got what a saved person... Saved people goes to church. And I don't care if it makes the corn crib devil mad. Saved people go to church. I don't like that preacher. He preaches too much commitment. Well, I'm glad you didn't walk with Jesus. Patriarchs of faith. They're witnessing. They're watching. I do believe they're aware of some things going on, by the way, tonight. They're waiting. I said this morning, the Bible said in Hebrews 11:39, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise or the reward. They're waiting on that reward. They're waiting for us to hurry up and gather this thing up and get on to glory. And let's get on with the big show. Amen. Let's get on with the big picture. My goodness, don't you know they are anticipating when the Lord Jesus returns for His church. They're anticipating that day. We ought to be anticipating that day. Because, hey, the Lord's coming. That's not out of Reader's Digest, honey. It's out of King James Bible. The Lord is coming. So there's the patriarchs of faith. And, man, they are witnessing. And oh, they're watching. And they're waiting. But then, not only the patriarchs of this race or this faith, there's the people of this race. Verse 1, notice the word is used a lot of times, let us. Now that means simply that you don't have to. You have an option. You're not a robot. But wouldn't it be a blessing if we got saved? We was all little robots. Couldn't make no mistakes. I mean, we'd make no wrong turns. Just all blessings and honey and glory. Like them boys on TV preaching, send you money over there. They'll promise you that health and prosperity. But that's not in your Bible. We're real people. God has saved our soul and our spirit, not our flesh and not our old nature. We all have decisions and opportunities that we've got to make. Now He says, let us. Let us. He's not talking about the world. The world's supposed to act like the world.
The world's supposed to respond like the world. We're supposed to act different than the world.
We're supposed to respond different from the world. So he says, let us. I'm glad I'm in that us crowd. And by the way, if God hadn't let you in on this race, you'd be out yonder with them. But thank God we are in the us crowd tonight. With so great a crowd, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now in other words, he said, be careful. Now don't go throwing rocks at people. I don't know where it's guiding good Baptist people to think that we're on a limb higher than somebody else. You know, I don't know why in the world we look over there and say, well, I know that was going to happen to them. And I don't know why we look and say, my child won't do that. And my wife won't do that. And my husband won't do that. Well, let me tell you, we're susceptible to anything that's going on anywhere tonight. You leave this flesh exposed long enough, friend, and it's going to get you in a pile of trouble. If you run with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. And I don't care if you clean the church or preach at the church. We're all in the same boat. We need the Holy Ghost on our life tonight. He says, you better watch. Because let us lay aside in the sin which doth so easily beset us. Not them. But us. If you're not careful, you'll be smoking their dope. You'll be drinking their beer. You say, well, preacher, I don't drink much. I like what a man told me the other night at camp meeting. And sir, I told you I was going to use it. It just popped up, so I'm going to shoot this rabbit. A lot of people say, well, you know, drinking one beer ain't no problem. Well, you know something? Just let me put this to you this way. If four beers get you drunk, or five beers get you drunk, I don't know how many it takes to get you drunk. But I tell you this, if it takes four and you drank one, then you're a quarter way drunk. Now I like that. And I knowed I'd get to use that sometime preaching. And so, why you say all of that? I'm saying you better watch yourself. Because he says, so easily besets us. See, we've all got vices. Oh, honey, you may come in here and got your little face all dolled up. And you may have a smile on your face and you may have a necktie on. But let me tell you, there's some vices that you've got tonight that the devil knows where they are. And you better be careful what you're doing tonight. So easy. Well, isn't it easy? This is what amazes me. We can be in a Holy Ghost throwdown, Brother Lee, on Sunday morning. And Monday, we forgot what we told God. We forgot about what we said at that altar to Him over yonder. I mean, we forgot about what the preacher said. All we remember was what His title was. We don't remember no content, nothing about what God showed us much. Boy, we are some kind of something, aren't we? So be careful. It's easily beset. I mean, it's just so easy. It's just like, you know something? And now I've noticed this. If you take this cup of water, and if you put it right here, let's get it over there, just hanging off just barely. And say that thing's just a wobbling. I can jump real good. You know what? I'm going to wet that carpet tonight. But if I push this over there, there's some security in there from out there. So you better quit running around and seeing how close you can get into trouble. Because for long, honey, you're going to get out of bounds and be in a heap of trouble. They do so easily beset us. I don't like setbacks. I don't like setbacks. I like to move on. I don't like to be caught up in what I've been caught up in before. So this evening, there's the people of this race. Let us, our opportunities, thank God He's put us in this race. Isn't it a joy to be a child of God tonight? What great opportunities. And then we talk about the people. Not only are there opportunities, but people are opposites. Look in Romans 12 and verse number 5. Romans 12, verse number 5. We're opposites. There's no two just alike. You know that quilt message Brother Jonathan preached the other night? My, what preaching? And you know, Brother Randy responded to me in a text the next day. He said, you know something about those remnants also? He said, no two look just alike. And you know what? Even though we're all in the quilt, we're all different tonight. I mean, we're cut a little different. And we've been put in maybe a little different. But aren't you glad that we're in one body tonight? Romans 12 and verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I mean, we've got fingers and thumbs. I've got a little finger. And then I've got three more fingers, and I've got a thumb. And then it's attached to a wrist, and then it's an elbow. Now watch what the Bible says. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now, we need each member. We don't think much of our elbow. But I tell you what you do right now. You stick your elbow straight out. Go ahead, stick your arm straight out. Straight, lock it out. Listen to me or we ain't going home tonight. Look it straight out. Now, get you a bite without bending that elbow. Go on and get you a bite. I know some of your tongue's so long you can reach it, amen. Amen, class. Amen, preacher. So we got gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. In other words, let me tell you tonight, this thing of prophecy, if it's not in this book, it's no new word given from God to man today. Honey, this is the complete story. This is the end of the situation. And then he said, we got gifts different. He said, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, you have gifts of different administrations. Some of you have gift of mercy. You walk in a hospital and you say, would you like some water? Can I fix your cover? Can I do something for you? Can I go down to the snack machine, get you a good pack of peanut butter and crackers and Pepsi? Somebody say amen right there. You can't eat that stuff they serve and you got to eat out of a snack machine. That is my opinion. And I'm the preacher here, so I can say what I want. And then, you know, you just can't do enough. I mean, you run over there and you'll wet a bath cloth and wipe her little face off. And then some of you walk in and say, what you doing here? I knowed you was going to wind up here. What'd you do to get here? We all different. Peter, James, and John all had different personalities. Different profiles. God made us different. But He put us all in one body to do a job. We're people of opposites. And we got to realize God is not a cookie cutter God. You know, a lot of times when we're raised up in a church like this, man, we think this is the only church in America where God is. But I'm going to tell you, God's in other places. You can't go against this book. But honey, if it lines up this book about Jesus being Lord and Jesus being the way to God, honey, I'm going to tell you, God will show up around them kind of place. So be careful. We are opposites. God has put us together to be a blessing. Some preachers, y'all tickle me to death. Y'all just tickle me to death. You just like a bunch of young'uns. Y'all tickle me to death. I can have one of the best preachers in America in here, and if he ain't running around pews, spitting and a slobbering and a hacking, you wonder when he's going to get to preaching. I mean, I can tell. I mean, they get to just teaching some real good stuff, and y'all look at me like, when's he going to start preaching? You see, we've got to have a balanced diet. God makes different things. You know, Brother Dennis, I had lunch with him today down at Loco Mix. And, matter of fact, I smelt it in my shirt when I put it on. But I don't want it every day. We need culture. We need to be balanced. We need to realize when a man gets behind that pulpit, opens this Bible, that's God talking through him, whether he's a running and hacking or he's just a mumbling word. So we need a balanced diet. Man, you get a preacher coming here and raises his voice and runs a circle. You know why I preach the way I preach? Because that's the only way I know how to do it. I mean, it's just me. I promise this. I went and candidated some 20 years ago trying out for my first church. Some of them liked me and a lot of them didn't. You can laugh a little bit. And this is what they said. They said, well, we like him, but he don't stay behind the pulpit and he raises his voice and he cries all the time. Well, that's the only way God's made me. I can't do nothing else. And you know, I try my best to settle down and teach and really give you something. And I find myself on the floor running around screaming. The way God's made gifts differing. And so we ought to thank God for who He's put us together. Listen, everybody don't have to be like you. And I've noticed pastoring people and in my own life, the people that bother you is people just like you. Especially women. Hey, y'all women tickle me. You can watch a real pretty gal walk in all decked out. This is what y'all say. Oh, don't look at me sober now. You know I done got your bell. Pick it up, honey. The phones are ringing. Oh, you don't like her. No, you don't like her. She's a devil. She may be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you know, these boys, they're real good till some Matt Dillon walks in. I mean, long as he's just an old redneck and I mean, he's like me. His teeth ain't the best thing in the world. Ain't got a lot of hair, you fine. Come on in, boy. Drive an old jacked up truck. Boy, we something, man. I mean, we won't, but I noticed this, the people that really bother me, they geared like me. And people bothering you, they're geared like you. Most of the time I can tell you why they bother you, because they're a mirror. I don't know about these people that love that all this quiet time, go find ourselves. I don't understand my wife. She loves that. She loves just to be by herself. And brother, I don't like being by myself because I find myself. I don't like what I find when I'm by myself. I mean, hey, God has blessed us so we got a cabin. I wouldn't even go down there and spend the night by myself. I don't know if I'm scared of the dark. I don't like to be alone. I mean, I'm ringing a cell phone off where I go to bed with somebody talk to me. But God's put us in here to be different. And thank God He's not a cookie cutter God. And we ought to realize that even though we're opposites, just because somebody's wobbling a little in the race, quit turning your head around and looking. You get in on your race. You do what God's called you to do and be what God has called you to be. A lot of people, they say, well, you know, I want to be a preacher. I had a neighbor one time, his mother stopped me in the yard and said, boy, you've really impacted my son. I said, really? She said, yeah, he wants to be a preacher. I said, really? She said, yep, you got more toys than any preacher I know. He didn't see 25 years getting up at 4 o'clock like he was milking cows, though, did he? People of the race, opportunities and opposites. And in opposition, the sin does so easily beset. I like what Brother Donald said, it is a bumpy road. Hear me, it's a bumpy road. You're going to fall down. You're going to get hurt. A lot of these runners, can you imagine they fell down and bumped their knee and they said, I'm not going to do that no more. Well, you're not much of a runner. Listen to me, church. Listen, you're going to get your feelings hurt serving God. You're going to put your faith in people. They're going to let you down. And I've noticed this. These that are the closest to you hurt you the most. But tonight, there's not only the patriarchs of this race and the people of this race. There is the path of this race. I want to say, first of all, it is a plotted race. Watch what your Bible says now in verse 1. Now he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has got a track, and it's laid out there. And I believe this, we're not jacks in the box, we're not puppets in the string. God is a God of blessing. God is a God of opportunity. He's got things set for you out there that only faith is going to let you run in this race and get to. You see what He told Abraham? Have you ever noticed what... I want to show you this so don't miss it. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Look what He told Abraham in verse 8 about this that's set before him. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out in a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance. He didn't have it then. It was waiting on him, but he had to access it by faith. That's why a lot of churches will never have what God's got for them, because they will not access the blessing by faith. He said he moved out by faith, and he received an inheritance. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he is going. He just know God told him to go. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, Isaac, Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So tonight, I'm convinced God has some things set for you, has some things set for me, but we can miss it if we don't run the race. Let me ask you this. Let me put it in this. We're so big to preach on the sovereignty of God and the providence of God, and I certainly believe all of that. But let me tell you something. We are creatures of choice. He said, let us. Now listen, you go to mounting sins up on you, and you go to putting these weights on you, and you get knocked out of this race, you're going to miss things God had set for you out yonder. Do you believe that tonight? God's got great blessings set for this church, this ministry. But if we don't access this thing by faith and run the race, we're going to miss what God's got for us. Just like our Macedonia missions. What if we'd have said we're not going to do that? Have you seen that board downstairs of how God has blessed us? Can you imagine the lives that are being impacted out of just these little four walls in Bowdoin, Georgia? Now we could have sat down and missed them. Let me tell you tonight. I'll tell you this, honey, by the Word of God. Blessings is coming to this church. Just stay in the race and stay on the road and do what God's called you to do and be a blessing, and God will handle everything else. I believe it with all of my heart. Now we see this is set before. I wonder what He's got in front of you. And you know what? You're never going to know what He had for you till you trust Him and run for it. I'm fixing to leave in the morning. Brother Ricky, I'm having the time. I know it's burdensome and it's tiresome, but I'm doing the desires of my heart, Brother. I'm leaving tomorrow, God willing. I'm going to run a revival meeting in Florida. I couldn't have done that if I'd stayed at Pepsi-Cola. God's got a track set out for me out yonder. And the only way, Brother Lee, I'm going to get to the blessing that God's got for me, I've got to run my race. And it don't matter what anybody else is saying about your race. Step over them. I wouldn't have quit. There was one lady here said, I wouldn't have quit. That preacher's going to regret quitting that job. I'm trying to be nice. But people don't understand. There's something out there that God has showed me and I can't get to it unless I'm running for it. What is it, preacher? I want to know what it is. I tell you what, it's ministry. It's making a difference. It's being a blessing. And it's bringing blessings to this church. Amen? What are you doing in your race? You know, it may not mean much to anybody, but I can tell you what, it means a lot to God. We probably got one of the most solid, best, blessed congregations I've ever been at. I'm just going to pick out some men on the front. Brother Mike, Brother Adam, Brother Randall. This church they know the life of you three men. Brother Troy, people knows what your past was, but they know the change God's made in you. Brother Tim, people here know that you've led the choir. Now, it may not seem much. The devil may tell Brother Troy, you ain't doing nothing. But let me tell you something, Brother Troy. There's a lot of people here watching you. Brother Randall, there's a pile of people here watching you. Brother Adam, they're watching you. Brother Mike, they're watching me. And if I get knocked out of this race, I wonder how many I'm going to affect if I'm not running where God's wanting me to go. Jimmy got saved. Let me ask you something. They ain't a more faithful couple than this little old couple sitting in this church tonight. This man totes me water every time I preach. God rewards faithfulness. He saved his boy this week, saved his girl last year. I'm going to save Dylan before it's over. You know why? They're running the race. Now let me show you this tonight. What if Brother Tim, Miss Deanne, kicked out of the race, got mad at the preacher, got offended with you, and just said, this thing ain't worth it, it's too hard. Too much dedication to serve God. We're just going to stay at home. What would have happened to Jimmy? It does matter. The race you're running. Some of you got children. This is what kills me. I hear them say, oh, I want to see so-and-so get saved. Won't you get faithful enough to get them here to get saved? Stay faithful. Run your race. And I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it, and I'm going to close. There's a pattern of the race. Everybody needs a hero. You ever notice in the gyms and the health clubs, they ain't got a picture of me. Brother Wendell, you ain't on there neither, brother.
I'm glad.
You'll see some old boy wearing a 50 jacket and about a 32 pants. Head full of hair. Nice teeth. He's even been over there to them little Vietnamese women done his fingernails. You know why they got a poster of him up there? They need a goal. They need somebody to become like. You know what Jesus said about this race? Look at it. He said, consider him. He said, lest you fall of your faith. He said, you look at the pattern for the joy that was set before. He had joy. He said, you think you've been persecuted? Look what he done. He endured the cross and despised the shame. I mean, what have we give up? What have we lost? How much ridicule have we took? I know some of you have. But as a whole, we live in a culture like nobody's never had it. He says, don't be faint in your mind looking unto Jesus. People fall out of the race, quit looking at them. Look unto Jesus. You want to plow a straight line? Tell you what you do, you set your mark at the end of the field. And you don't take your eyes off of it. But you get to looking around. And you take your eyes off that mark, you're going to turn around. And it's a sight what you've done. The pattern. Everybody needs a hero. Everybody needs a goal. Thank God He is my hero tonight. He is my God, my Savior. He's my everything. I've got to put my eyes to Him if I'm going to finish this race. Not only do we see the patriarchs, not only do we see the people, not only do we see the path, not only do we see the pattern, but lastly tonight there is a prize. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temper in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." You ever notice that peach tree race? That's amazing to me. I'm talking about the hottest part of the year, and they run for a t-shirt. Man, they got some dull Saturdays, all I can say. I mean, that whole mob up there, sweating, got a t-shirt. "What'd you get for that race, boy?" "Got this t-shirt." And they run out of double XLs. "I can't even wear it. Here, you wear it." That's always my luck at them events. They don't have no 2Xs. Paul said, "You're not running for a t-shirt." He said, "They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we're an incorruptible." Lord, Lord. He said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I." It's a fight. You hear me? It is a fight. "Not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." We're running for crowns. When we finish this race, you'll be glad one day God put you on this race. Finish your race, young'un. Do what God's called you to do. Quit looking at the runners. Look unto Jesus. You hear me tonight? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's never lost a runner. Look to Him. He loves you. And we ought to love Him tonight. Thank you for being here. Stand with us. I appreciate the Lord.